We are on Vav Amud Beis. If you see where the lines get wide and you go up from there about five or six lines. I assume everyone got the email that I sent out last week with the answers about the lizard egg and the... Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. This is now a new thought. Beitza im yitziasa nigmara. This is one of the classic setups that you have in the Gemara, in which an Amora will make a statement. We're going to quote, I should say, an Amora making a statement, and we don't know what he's talking about or where he got it from. We just know that he made such a statement, and then we have to explain what the statement is about. So the only reason this is brought here is because it involves eggs. And we think it might connect to Yom Tov, but it's just a statement in a vacuum. Rav Huna says, I heard Rav say that the egg is completed when it leaves the chicken. Like, it's like a code phrase. The egg is completed when it leaves the chicken. That's it. So, we want to know what you're talking about. Mai imitziasa nigmara. What does that mean when you say the egg is completed when it leaves the chicken? What are you talking about? The Gemara is going to give three different explanations. First, Ilema imitziasa nigmara umuteras la'achla bechalav. He says, maybe what you're trying to say is the egg is completed when it leaves the chicken, and at that point you're allowed to eat it with dairy. Maybe that's what you're suggesting here, is that when it leaves the chicken, it is now no longer meat. Now it becomes complete as its own entity, and therefore you could eat it with dairy. That's our first approach. In other words, it's a power of entity, correct. That's our first idea. So he says, Habamei ima asura la'achla b'chalav. The implication would be that if you shefted the chicken and you found the egg inside, then you would not be allowed to eat it with milk. But v'hatanya, I have a braisa that opposes this idea, that says, Hashochid es hatarnagoles umatza bah beitzim gemuros mutaros la'achlan b'chalav. If you shecht the chicken and you find a complete egg inside, you are permitted to eat that with milk. It's not considered to be part of the bird. So therefore, you can't tell me that there's some kind of transition going when it leaves the chicken, that now it becomes mutter with dairy. Apparently, it was mutter with dairy even in the beginning, so that we throw out that explanation of what this transition is that's going on when it leaves. It's not that it's now becoming parif. Throw out that idea. Ella, rather, we're at the end of the thin lines. Imitziasa nigmara, when it leaves the mother, it is completed. Umutaras la'achla b'yom tov. And you would now be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. In other words, if you take a look at Rashi, he says, b'yom tov. Rashi is about halfway down in the Rashis. The beginning of the line is the Beis Yotes b'yom tov. V'hachi ki'amar, and this is the way to read it. What it's saying is, yatsasa vadai mi ba'od yom. If you know for sure that it was laid by the chicken before Yom Tov, then mutter. It will be mutter on Yom Tov. Ki vadai hu dinigmara b'chol, because we know for sure that it was completed during the week. Now, you might say, why is that a chiddush?
Yeah, what's happening?
Right? If Yom Tov is Wednesday, let's say, so you know, if the egg was laid on Tuesday, the egg is mutter on Yom Tov. I knew that. I could have told you that. So the chiddush would be the reverse implication, as Rashi continues to say. Avolo yatsasa, if it did not leave on Tuesday, if it did not come out of the chicken on Tuesday, lo nigmara b'chol, then it was not completed during the week. And therefore it will be prohibited because of Hachana, and that goes back to the beginning of our Masechta, that we're going to say that it will be off limits if it will be off limits if it was laid on Yom Tov. So that's what you're trying to say. It's mutar if it emerges before Yom Tov.
What's the chiddush?
Right. Well, no, the chiddush, well, but that's the chiddush would be that it's teaching me the law of our first Mishnah. Beis HaShanol de Yom Tov. It's teaching me that we would paskin that the egg is asur. That's what he's teaching me. Go back to the Gemara. Havmei ima asur la'achla b'yom tov. That implies that if it was in the mother when Yom Tov started, you would not be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Vatanya hashochet es hatarnagolas umatza b'beitzim gemuros mutaros la'achla b'yom tov. It's not true. If I shech the chicken on Yom Tov, and I find inside completed eggs, right? The rule is going to be that you are allowed to eat them even though it is Yom Tov. So throw out that idea. It's not true. In other words, we've been trained by the beginning of our Masechta. We've been trained to think the opposite of an egg laid on Erev Yom Tov is an egg laid on Yom Tov. But there's another possibility, which is the egg found in the chicken on Yom Tov. So that's what it will be teaching me about. Not only the egg that was laid on Yom Tov being Asur, but also, theoretically, teaching me that the egg found inside the chicken on Yom Tov would be Asur. And he says that's not true.
The egg found inside the chicken is mutar because of the mother. In other words, it's not muksa because the mother was permissible.
Right.
Okay. But then you have the other one that says that the egg found inside is not meat like the mother.
Right.
So that means it's not part of it. Like, it's not considered part of the mother at that time. So how is it mukhan based on the mother if it's not considered part of the mother?
One second. Why isn't this considered? Why is this not considered part of the mother?
Because it's you can eat it with milk.
Why don't you say milk can't be milk is blood at one time? So milk is blood. You can't have
mother
it.
Should have the same problem.
There's discussion about that.
That's yeah, but they're the two different mitzvahs, though. They're not. One is determining if it's parv, right?
One is as of now. I mean, we're going to have to talk about this more. You'll see. We're going to have to talk about this more. But right now, our assumption is that the fact that you're telling me that it's mutter does not that it's mutter with milk does not mean that it's not considered part of the mother here.
Okay.
We have to see more about this, but that seems to be the understanding. So he says, if you're going to tell me that the major transition that you're teaching me is that when it emerges, if it emerges before Yom Tov, it's mutter to eat on Yom Tov, the implication is that an egg found inside the mother on Yom Tov is going to be usur. He says, it's not true. I have a braisa that says otherwise. V'chi tema, and if you're going to tell me, kamash malan b'braisa maidelo ash me'inon b'masnisin, maybe you will say that it's teaching us in the Brisa that which we did not learn in a Mishnah. And what he means by that is maybe the Brisa is wrong. That's what he's trying to say. You might make the argument that the Brisa is telling me something I didn't know from a Mishnah. And in fact, it's not true. If you go to take a look at Rashi, v'chi tema. If you would say, Ein halacha kebraisa zu, the law does not follow this braisa, the ashmeinan bah, my delo ashmeinan bimasnisin, because it's teaching me that which it did not teach me in a Mishnah, ubishum Mishnah lo sasam lan Rabbi Hachi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, never said such a thing in a Mishnah, vim Rabbi lo shana, Rabbi Chia minayin lo, if Rabbi didn't teach it, how would Rabbi Chia know it? Rabbi Chia, remember, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshia are the ones who canonize the Tosefta, which are braisos. So, if Rebbe didn't know it, if it wasn't in a Mishnah, then maybe the Brisa actually isn't authoritative.
I'm lost. Can you just repeat what the Brisa said?
Yes. The Brisa is the one that we just quoted here that says if you shech the chicken and you find the egg completed inside, you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov.
But the Mishnah doesn't talk about that case. So why is it not like the Mishnah?
No, it's a vacuum in the Mishnah.
Right.
In other words, it's simply, if this wasn't in a Mishnah, maybe you'll argue it's actually not the halacha.
But didn't the Mishnah talk about the calf found inside the behema? It's when you shaft it on Yom Tov, and that's smithy.
Doesn't the Mishnah talk about a calf found inside? Yes. Yes, no, we have talked about a calf found inside, yeah.
So why should the egg be any different?
The egg we're talking about is a non-fertilized egg.
Yeah,
how can you compare it to a cat?
Why? It's inside the chicken. It's inside the chicken.
I mean, it's moot. I wouldn't bother trying to make analogies because we're not gonna stand where we are.
Inside the chicken, but it's completely formed. How can you compare it to
don't,
the
you don't need to defeat it.
It's part of the egg.
I don't think it's about fertilized and unfertilized. I wouldn't make the distinction based on that. But it doesn't matter because they're going to reject this and move on in a moment anyway.
But why would you compare an egg to a calf?
Why not? It's something that's found inside the mother. The mother is mother,
yeah,
and the context of the mother.
Because the egg is called an egg. It's not called a piece of meat. We call it an egg. It looks like an egg. It's distinct. Whereas a calf is another piece of meat. When it comes out, it'll be a piece of meat. It won't look like.
Doesn't matter.
No one will call the egg an oaf.
One second. Are you going to contend then that in fact, if you shuck the chicken and you find an egg inside, the egg is osir?
It depends. Were we talking about pariv or fleshig?
No,
what are we talking about?
That's
who cares?
Significant.
It's Yom Tov. Our question is, what's our Aser? Correct.
But he was asking the question about whether it's fleshig.
We're not on Havi's question.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we dumped Havi's question ages ago.
The question was asked when we found the calf inside of a other animal.
I said, what's that have to mean?
The question is whether that was muktzah or not.
Muktzah, not milchik fleshik otherwise.
Right.
But again, let me make sure that we understand what we're doing here. We wanted to argue that the rule is, what we're just trying to say here is, the egg has to emerge from the mother before Yom Tov to be mutter on Yom Tov. That was the statement.
Right.
To which the Gemara said, then you'd be implying that if the egg was found inside when you shechted the chicken, the egg would be usher. And that's not true. I have a brisa that says that if you find the egg inside, the egg is mutter. If you shecht the chicken on Yom Tov and you find the egg inside, the egg is mutter. When we talked about in the beginning of the Masechta, Beitz HaShanol de Yom Tov, its crime was emerging from the mother. If it had stayed inside and you shechted the mother, everything would have been fine. So he says, if you're going to tell me, So he says, I don't understand then how Rav could have said that it's only because it emerged before Yom Tov that it's mutter. It could have been mutter if it had stayed inside too, and you shechted the mother. That's our point. And if you're going to tell me that halacha, that when you shecht the mother and you find the egg inside, the egg is still... that the egg is mutter. No, sorry. If you're going to tell me the halacha that says that if you shecht the mother and you find the egg inside, the egg is mutter. If you're going to tell me that we don't accept that, you'll say, well, that was a lone brisa, and that it's not acceptable because it's not echoed in a Mishnah anywhere. He says, I'll tell you that's not true. Because hanami tane, now we're seven lines up from the bottom. We learned this in a Mishnah. It was our very first Mishnah. Beitza shenol deviyomto veshama yomim te'achel if the egg emerges from the mother on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai says you may eat it, Beis Hillel says you may not eat it, right? This sounds familiar. Their only debate was where the egg came out of the chicken. But if it was found inside the mother, divrei hakol sharyon, everybody will permit it. Beis Hillel only said it's asur because it came out of the mother. But if it was inside, Beis Hillel would have been fine with it. Now, you could point out that that's not the only fair implication of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
You could just as easily have said, no, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have a machlokas where the egg came out of the mother, and if it stayed inside the mother, Beis Shammai would agree that it's usur. Why assume Beis Hillel is the one who would agree? In the other case, where it was still inside. And maybe you'll say no. Beis Hillel sticks to his guns. And Beis Hillel would say, oh, sir, if it's found inside too. The only reason why they had a discussion about where the egg came out, specifically, that was to show that Beis Shammai would permit it, even if it did come out of the mother. So maybe that's your argument. But he says, still, if you were to say that, I have a brisa that says if you shech the chicken and you find eggs inside the chicken, you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. So he says, if you were going to try to tell me that Beis Shammai, if you were to try to tell me that Beis Shammai in our Mishnah says that they're okay when they are laid, and Beis Hillel says not, and that where they were inside the where they were inside of the mother, Beis Hillel is going to say usur, and Beis Shammai is going to say mutter. Then he says this brisa that says if you shecht the chicken and find them inside, you're allowed to eat them. Mani, who's going to be the author? Lo Beis Shammai velo Beis Hillel. Not Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. Why not Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai does say mutter. Yeah, but he wouldn't have used that brisa.
Right.
Take a look at Rashi. Lo Beis Shammai velo Beis Hillel. Lo Beis Shammai demai irya b'mei behema. It's not Beis Shammai there, because behema, I should say. It's not Beis Shammai because why would he have bothered talking about where it's inside the mother? Even if it was laid on Yom Tov, it would be mutter. And it's not Beis Hillel because he doesn't agree. He says, usher. So he says that won't work. So again, let me make sure that we understand what we're talking about here. The second possible explanation for Rav, when Rav says that there's a major transition going on when the chicken emerges, when the egg emerges from the mother, he says it is now complete. So our first explanation was that the transition is that it's now dairy, or parav, I should say. We threw that idea out. We said, no, it's parav even when it's inside the mother as long as it's gemuros. So then we said the transition is that because it emerged before Yom Tov, therefore you'd be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Implying that if you found it inside on Yom Tov, it would be usher to eat on Yom Tov. But it's not true. I have a brisa that says it is mutter to eat on Yom Tov. And if you'll tell me, yeah, well, we don't follow that brisa, my answer to you is, of course we follow that brisa, because it's the logical implication of our first Mishnah as well. When our Mishnah has a debate about an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, it's because everybody agrees about the egg that was found inside the mother on Yom Tov. The machlokas is only where the egg was laid on Yom Tov. And if you'll tell me that's not true, that actually the debate was in both cases, the debate between Beis Hamavad Shammai is whether it emerged on Yom Tov or whether it was found inside a shechted bird on Yom Tov. If you're going to try to go that route, then my answer to you is going to be that the... No, my answer to you is going to be then, I don't know why you ever needed a brisa that discussed the case in which you found the egg inside. Once you already know that even where it emerged, Beis Shammai is still going to permit it, right? You don't need Beis Shammai to say anything about the case where it's found inside. If you say it's mutter when it emerged, it's for sure mutter when it was found inside. And Beis Hillel, we know, says usher down the line. So he's not going to be the author of the Mishnah that says it's of the brisa that says it's okay if it was found inside.
No one is.
You can't, there's nothing left.
He's not the author, but he can still agree, or he for sure agrees.
Yeah, but it has to be someone who agrees. But someone has to have said it.
Beis Shammai wouldn't bother authoring a brisa to say
this. He's not the author, but he would agree with the statement.
But who is the author then? The question is, who is? It's not Beis Hillel and it's not Beis Shammai, and we don't know of a third view.
And the implication might be that he holds theirs in Mutter, but the other place would be Osir, because you usually mention the bigger Kiddush.
There's no one. Once you throw out Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, you don't have any other Tana who is going to split the difference and say Osir where it was laid, but Mutter if it was found inside.
Except this is based on an interpretation that Beis Hillel is saying that it's Osir inside. Beit Hillel may be saying, they both may be agreeing that's mutter inside the first way he explained it, and then this practice could be Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel would say that if the egg was inside, it is mutter.
No, but his reason for not saying that, because if he says that
interpretation, if Beit Hillel
right, no, because we want to say what you're saying, that Beit Hillel will agree, but once we accomplish that, then we've checkmated ourselves. Because our whole point is that you wanted to say imitziyasa nigmara. It had to actually emerge in order to be mutter. If we say what you're trying to say, that Beis Hillel says, asur if it emerged, mutter if it's inside,
right,
then that means that he disagrees with the idea of imitziyasa nigmara. The implication of Rav's statement, imitziyasa nigmara, as we're trying to take it right now, is when the egg emerges, that's when it becomes mutter. Meaning, if I check the chicken and find the egg inside, it's usher.
But if we're talking about Yom Tov, regardless, Beit Hillel is disagreeing in that case. I mean, that's our original...
No. Again, okay. we are talking about Yom Tov.
Right.
We said that Rav said that if the egg is found inside the chicken, the egg is going to be... No, if the egg is found inside the chicken, it's going to be usher. It had to have emerged to be mutter.
Right.
The implication is that if it's found inside the chicken, it's going to be usher.
We have no one who holds that way.
Well, we do. Hang on.
Well,
hang on. If it was found inside, then it's usher. That was what we wanted to say. Our problem is that our brisa says that it is mutter when it's found inside. And if you're going to tell me this is a Lone Ranger brisa, it's not true, because it's supported by our Mishnah, in which they had a debate about where it emerged, but we assume that everybody agrees that if it was actually found inside, it's going to be mutter. Now, if you're going to tell me no, if you're going to tell me that Beis Hillel says that it's usher when it's found inside, right? If you're going to tell me that Beis Hillel says that it's usher when it's found inside, then I don't know who the author of this brisa is. Because it's not Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai isn't going to bother to say it. And Beis Hillel is going to disagree.
Right, but all I'm saying is that's based on an assumption that you're saying that Beit Hillel is saying it's usher when it's inside. if we don't assume that, we go back to the previous line.
Yeah.
Where we're saying Beit Hillel holds its mutar.
Yes.
Then that breita
is Beit Hillel.
Is Beit Hillel.
Bingo. Perfect. Okay. That's great. We would be very happy if that breita is Beit Hillel. Because what it means is that now we've proven that this can't be what Rav means.
Okay.
But how can you have the happening that Beit Hillel would hold that it's usher inside? I mean, there's no mutzah. The expectations are when you shaft the chicken, you're going to find eggs inside. Who's going to say, you know, I mean, that's the normal course of events.
So you're asking a different question and an interesting one. We're trying to explain Rav, right? All of this is about explaining Rav. We have a random statement by Rav that the egg becomes complete when it emerges. And we are trying to explain that to mean that if the egg was laid before Yom Tov, the egg is mutar on Yom Tov. If it was still inside, then it's going to be usher. So Alan is asking a very good question. Why would I have thought that that would be true? That the egg had to emerge in order for it to be mutter. What was my hava mina? When I'm trying to explain this in this way, why would I have thought so?
We have no choice, because that's basically the question we're confronted with. We're confronted with this cryptic statement. So we can't ignore the statement. You're right, the assumptions might be the other way, but we have to figure out.
That's not why. The answer is, go back to our very first discussion in this Masechta, or take a look at Rashi B'Yom Tov, where he explained why. Rashi B'Yom Tov, we read it a lot before, we'll read it again. The halfway down in the Rashis, V'achi ke'omar, yatsa vaday mi ba'od yom, if you know that it emerged before Yom Tov, mutter, then the egg is mutter. Ki vaday hu denigra b'chol, because then we know it was completed during the week. Avalo yatsa, but if it did not emerge, lo nigmara b'chol, it was not completed during the week, v'asura mishum hachana deraba. The problem is the hachana issue. The hachana is when it becomes completed. Correct. But that's the idea. So again, what we're saying is you can't explain Rav in this way. You wanted to say that Rav is saying the egg has to emerge before Yom Tov to be mutter on Yom Tov. And by implication, if the egg is found inside on Yom Tov, the egg is going to be usser. And our reason why we can't say that is because we hold that it's mutter, and everybody says that it's mutter. Bein Beis Hillel, Bein Beis Shammai, everybody is going to say that it's mutter. And the way we know it is because we have this brisa that says it's mutter, and Beis Hillel is the author of that brisa. That's the simplified version of what we just said in the Gemara. Yes, that's the simplified version of what we just said in the Gemara. Everybody is going to agree that this egg is mutter. So now we go back to Rav, and we still don't understand Rav. If Rav is not saying that when Rav says, all we know is that Rav said, when it emerges, it becomes complete. Rav is not saying, when it emerges, it becomes parav. It's parav still inside. Rav is not saying, when it emerges, it becomes mutter on Yom Tov the next day. That's not what Rav is saying either, because it was mutter if it was inside also. So what did Rav mean, when it emerges, it becomes complete? So the Gemara is going to give us a third shot at this. The simplest of the approaches. Ella im yitziasa nigmara umigadeles efrochem. We're one line off from the bottom. Im yitziasa nigmara umigadeles efrochem. What he is saying is actually an ornithological statement. It's a statement about how birds work. What he's saying is, when the egg emerges from the mother, it is now complete to the extent that it would be able to produce chicks. The egg that's inside the mother, hypothetically, you shechted a chicken. You found an egg inside with live fetus, embryo, whatever, inside of the egg. If you were to try to incubate that egg, you would not get a live bird.
Only
once it has undergone all of the processing that it has to undergo inside the bird and it has emerged, now you know this is an egg that will produce live young. Until then, b'mei ima eina megadelas efrochem. If it's inside the mother, it's not going to produce live chicks. So the Gemara asks, l'may nafkamina, why does that matter for the Gemara? Why was Rav going around teaching us lessons in how chickens work? The answer is, the classic answer when you have no other answer, l'mekach umemkar. The answer is because it has commercial ramifications. In other words, if someone comes to me and says, I want to buy eggs from which I can produce live young. He walks into my pet store and he says, I want an egg that I can incubate. If I give him an egg that was found inside the chicken when I shechted it, that's fraud. Because that's not, he's not going to be able to produce live young. And I'm going to tell him later when he comes back to me and says, I didn't get a live chick. I'm going to say, well, you did something wrong, clearly. And it's not. I gave him a dud. It's my fault. That's the ramification. As the Gemara, in fact, says, hang on. Like the story that happened where somebody said, who has eggs depachya? Pachya, as Rashi says, is like depaya. If you remember the Rashi in Parsha Shmos on Shifra and Pua, right? So Pua is one of the explanations there is that she coos to them. So that's why Rashi takes it over here. Hanoladim and atarnagolas chaya shepua baledasa. That's born to the chicken that will make these noises when it produces the egg. So he says someone was saying beya depachya leman. Who has eggs of a mother that where it will where there will be young. So yavule beya deshchuta. They gave him eggs that had been found not inside, not eggs that came from a mother who had laid the egg, but rather eggs that had been found inside of the chicken. Asla kamed Rabbi Ami. The case came to Rabbi Ami when they didn't produce young. Amar lo mekachtao so bahadar. He said that's a fraud, and therefore it had the sale to be reversed. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, of course it's a fraud. What do you mean? The guy said explicitly, I want eggs that were... Forget whether he wanted young from it or not. He said, I want eggs that came out of a chicken. These eggs didn't come out of the chicken. Why is this a conversation? I might have thought the guy only wanted them for eating. He really wasn't interested in incubating them. When he said, I want eggs that came out of the bird... It's because he wanted these because ditzrivan suggests that they are fully ripe. The word sareves, as Rashi notes, is understood as like a something that's fully formed, or really it's a burn, kivia. But the point is, here, these eggs are fully formed, the ones that came out of the mother, and that's what the guy wanted, but that's all that he... And that's the argument of the salesman is going to be, all he wanted was an egg that was maybe a richer egg. That's what he was looking for. Instead, the egg that was found inside. So the Gemara says, "Lamay nafkamina." Still, at the end of the day, it's still fraud. He asked for one thing and you gave him another. Yeah, but the difference is, what's the remedy? Lameis valei beini beini. The difference is whether I have to refund the entire purchase because it was just a straight fraud, or whether what I gave him is something that's worth less than what he wanted, in which case I can just refund the difference. That's the difference between... Correct. That's the difference between the two. So that's what Rav was trying to say in the first place when he said... That the egg that emerges is completed only upon emerging from it, and that's this case that Rabbi Ami had in front of him.
Is that biologically correct?
Right, I don't know.
But I didn't just say what he wanted to say. Instead of us figuring it out after three prices.
Well, the answer is probably he did. The question is not that. The question is, how was it transmitted? In other words, someone made a statement in context. Somebody else either heard only part of the conversation or told it over without the whole context.
And we have to figure it out.
And then we have to figure out what it was that he was saying. That's correct. This sort of thing happens all the time.
I have another question in regards to the authorless... So we often have it that we have a Tanakama, or we have an anonymous bride. That's not the only; it wouldn't be the only one, no.
So our default assumption is that if the Brisa says something on a topic that Mishnayos did touch on, and the Mishnah never said it, then there's something odd going on.
Aren't there lots of Brises like that? They bring up all the time. The
Mishnah talks about something, and a Brisa will then touch on something that's close to it.
So he's presenting you the argument that no. It didn't show up in the Mishnah. Now, I have a question on this, I think, that relates to what you're saying, but we'll come back to it in a second. Yeah.
An egg that comes from a chicken, doesn't the hen have to sit on it and incubate it? I mean, it's not
done. Yeah. But it's potential. It's capable.
Right. It is now ripe to the point that it's ready for some of the animals to... Yeah. A few thoughts, one of which I think is what Alan is asking and what's bothering people in general regarding this. What we've said here is essentially that the brisos of Rabbi Chiya Rav Oshia are not only subservient to the Mishnah, but they really have no life of their own at all. So that creates an interesting problem, because we have a principle which we say often regarding Rav, but also regarding Rabbi Chiya, that they are viewed as Tanaim. Tana hu upalig. So is he a Tana or isn't he a Tana? So take a look at Source Aleph. This is from a very interesting sefer called Halichos Olam. Halichos Olam was written by a late Rishon, 15th century, Rabbi Yeshua Rav Yosef Halevi. And in his Shar Sheni, he has a couple of sections on this sort of thing. He explains Gemara lingo, what it means when a Gemara says Tiyuvta, Kashya, things like that. I'm actually going to bring in the Dafyomi on Shabbos, one of his more famous lines, although I think it's a Tosus that also says it, that when you see the word Kashya in the Gemara, it simply means we could explore this and answer it. We're not going to, like, but know that there is an answer.
Like we used to say in Yeshiva, if a kasha starkmanish, because yeah, there's always an answer.
Right, kashas can be answered. Tiyuvta can't be answered, kashya can be answered. So here, he has a comment. He says, Ha'amora, ein lo kawach lachlok al atana b'shum panim ba'olam. He says, an Amora can never argue with a Tana. The Omnam, however, Gabe Rav Rabbi Chiya Matzinu Shomer Lefamim Rav Tana Hu Upalig Perakama Dixubos. Right? We find the statement that Rav is a Tana and he disagrees. Or Rabbi Chiya Tana Hu Upalig Perakama de Mitzia, the first Perakam Bava Mitzia.
Rabbi
Yochanan? I don't think we ever find Rabbi Yochanan Tana Upalig.
Yeah,
Rishali.
Yeah.
Okay. He says, Upshita She'enam Tanoim. He says, we know they're not Tanoim. When we say Rav Tana Upalig, we don't mean he's a Tana. Shalahuzkru Loba Mishnah Loba Brisa. They don't show up in Mishnayos and Brisos. Ella wrote, Talomar Shahim Chashuvim Kemo Tanoim. V'yachol Machlok Amishnu Brisa. They have that status. V'zeh Ateruz Eino Mitaretz. Ella Mitoch Docha Gadol. But he says, you only give that answer if you're stuck with a statement that they're making that seems to be against a Tana statement. All right, fine. Rav Tana Upalig. This isn't the Lechatchila approach. Sheinu Motzei Teretz Acher. You can't find any other answer. Kedemucha Chasam Bereish Mitzia, like you see in the Gemara Bav Mitzia, Demachsha Bereisha Arabi Chia Mikawach Masnisin Velometaritz Tana Upalig. He says in the Gemara there, in the beginning of Bav Mitzia, they first question Rabbi Chiya based on a Mishnah, and they don't simply say Tanhu Upalig. Al Bisalf to Lava Evshale Balamachi. Until in the end of the discussion they say, we don't have any other choice. Alright, fine, Rabbi Chiya Tanhu Upalig. But it's not Lachatchila. So when we ask the question of, well, can't a Brisa just say something that adds a new dimension, the answer is by default no. It may happen. But we would prefer to make our Brisas consistent with our Mishnayos.
But I understand if the Brisa contradicts the Mishnah.
Yeah.
But what if it just adds an element that's not inconsistent?
So, right, so if it's really just adding something that's not that's not inconsistent, I don't think we'll have a problem. I think the problem that we run into is that what it's introducing here is something that would be inconsistent with the views that are recorded in the Mishnah.
Sometimes it's a longer version of a Mishnah and the basis is the same thing.
Well, we're filled with details that we're missing.
Yes. Okay, so that was one point. But in terms of this idea that we said and we just sort of said along the way, that if you find eggs inside of a bird that's been shechted, you're allowed to eat them with milk. So I wanted to revisit this a little bit. We learn in a Mishnah in Edyos that eggs found inside of a nevela are not kosher. Okay? You know, the chicken died. It wasn't shechted. The chicken just died. And you found eggs inside. Those eggs have the same status as the nevela. They're treif, in other words. That's difficult to understand. Because here you're telling me the egg found inside the shluta isn't part of the mother. It's parav. Right? So what you're telling me now is that the egg found inside of a nevela is, on the one hand, parav. Right? And on the other hand, it's a nevela. If it's parav, that means it's not part of the mother, and therefore it shouldn't acquire the mother's usher status. And if it's not part of, and if it is part of the mother, then it should be fleshic.
Unless you say that just like an egg coming from a trefa is a trefa, you can't have it. An egg coming from an avela is in the same category.
But the reason why an egg that comes from a trefa is no good is because it was produced by the energy of a trefa.
Right.
The egg from an avela wasn't produced by the navela. When the mother became an avela, it's not producing anything.
Okay.
It's a siyug.
Ah, so Alan is already into Tosfos. Take a look at Tosfos Beitzim in our Gemara. Beitzim Gemuros Mutaros La'ochlan B'chalav. It's the first of the wide lines at the bottom. He says, V'kasha, this is difficult. Da amrinan be'edyos, beitzas nevela, kol shekamo anim keres b'shuk. If you have an egg that's found inside of a nevela bird, as long as an egg like it will be sold in the market, which in the margin they explain, it means the shell has hardened. Be'shamay matirin, Ubeis Hillel Osrin. Beis Shammai says the egg is mutter. Beis Hillel says the egg is osr. Remember that in Agios they group together all the chumros of Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says osr. End of quote. He says, V'hacha hechi mutter la'achlan b'chalav. Then how is it that we're allowed to eat it with dairy? He's asking the question the opposite way of the way I did, because I started with our Gemara as the starting point. He's starting with Agios as the starting point. But the bottom line is, you cannot tell me on the one hand that it's part of the mother, in the sense that it becomes osr with the mother, and yet it's parah.
Really, just the challenge of Beis Hillel.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Within Beis Hillel's view, correct. The Yesh Lomar, you could say, the time of Mishum, the Besar of Becholav Midirabanan, Vafilu Beis Hillel Modu. He says the reason could be that in truth, it's actually not. I'm trying to figure out how to do this best. There are different ways that
chicken is a carb. The only reason we don't eat
chicken
is because it's a rabbanan.
Right, no, but there are two questions in one that are being asked here. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to work it. I'll go with it the way that Tosfos presented it, because we're reading Tosfos in order. The way that he presents the question is, how is it that it's going to be mutter with dairy? So his first answer is that fundamentally poultry with milk is a dirabanan. Right? Poultry with milk is a dirabanan. Vafilu beis hillel modu. And even Beis Hillel will agree. So when it came to Nevela, that was a different story. Nevela is a Deoraisa, right? Nevela is biblical. So therefore, we're going to say that the egg of a Nevela is considered part of the bird and it's prohibited. But when it came to milk and meat, since it's really milk and poultry, we're not going to be strict.
You can even still say you still can treat it as part of the bird.
Correct. It doesn't matter.
It's fake,
but just like the bird is part of it, it's part. That's exactly what he's saying.
No one's going to mistake the egg for me.
When it's part of the day, that's also
right. I'm jumping now in Tosfos to the fourth line, the middle of the line, B'taima de Beis Hillel, because I want to come back to the middle of the Tosfos. It'll end up being next week, probably. But B'taima de Beis Hillel, the Asri Beitzas Nevela, the reason why Beis Hillel prohibits the egg from a Nevela, Hainu Mishum de Gazrinan Atu Beitzas Trefa, like Alan wanted to say. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Since an egg that is produced by a trefa is off limits, we're also going to tell people don't eat the egg from a nevela, because otherwise people might get confused.
Right.
They won't realize why egg from a nevela is different from egg from a trefa. What I just explained to Shia, right, that the egg from a trefa is really a whole different discussion, is not clear to people. It's not obvious to people. And therefore, they said, don't eat the egg from the nevela, lest people eat the egg from a trefa. That's our Tosfos' response.
That's still a rabbanan.
So that's a secondary.
These are really two different. These are two different. They're really two different points. That's what I was trying to say before.
Two different ways. They conflict. You can't have it both ways.
Because
one is the first tares. He's comparing the oif and the bayas being one of the same.
Well, that's the thing. He's asking
the other way around.
He's asking two questions from opposite directions.
Yeah.
The first question he's asking is, why is it that the egg from the shchuta is considered separate from the bird, while the egg from the nevela is considered part of the bird?
Right.
To which his answer that he's giving, fundamentally, is, you're right, they are really considered to be
part of the bird.
They are really considered to be separate. They're separate from the bird. They're considered to be separate from the bird. We're strict regarding nevela because nevela is a deoraisa. We're not going to be strict regarding milk and meat, milk and poultry, because milk and poultry is a derabanan.
Isn't he saying that they're both part of the
bird? In one case, it's an avela, right? That's how I understood.
And the egg is still part.
Right.
In other words, it's only the rabbanan that the of is part.
But he's explaining is
it's still part of the bird. And it's just, we don't
hold. Since the bird is kosher, it's a kosher parva item, and so is the egg.
Okay, I hear you.
But, no, but if you learn it that way, then isn't the second teretz?
The second is the opposite.
Conflicts. You can't hold both ways.
It's not conflicts. Yeah. Give me two answers.
I think, yeah, no. These are two different issues. There are two different issues, and just
but the
knowing Tosfos in Chulin, I don't think that that's what he's saying. I think that the perspective of Tosfos is fundamentally that it's considered to be separate from the bird automatically. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with Nevela, we're going to be strict because that's a De'oraisa. Nevela is a De'oraisa issue. And therefore, we're going to say treat it as being part of the bird.
To say that because if you don't, even though the other thing makes sense, it's so sort of second part of the Tosfos. Tosfos is you're not giving two different Jerusalem. He's for the same question. He's giving this second teretz for another question that's bothering him.
Yes.
Right. But the two teretzim have to be consistent in the sheet of Beis Hillel. You can't create conflict amongst these two teretzim.
No, that's true.
And where you would, if we tried to use the first approach, I think, as to it being part of the chicken. So you have to say, really, it's separate from the chicken, but in the first teretz, the question is it we're mekel?
No, that's true.
One is a deraisa, one is a rabbanan. Because otherwise you have, if we went the way we wanted to say originally, then the second mahalach to answer the second question of Beis Hillel would conflict with, I think, the first way.
Right. No, I think that's correct. You have to say it that way.
I think I was grabbing because
they're
trying
to say it. So was I. I also made the same mistake, but I think it's like exactly what Tarchina says. Otherwise we won't be able to reconcile.
My sense was that if you allow them to eat the egg, then they'll think maybe you can eat the meat on the nevela too.
Okay.
On that same trick, as opposed to the egg and the trick, but he doesn't.
No. So what Hoses is suggesting? Sorry.
The Reiter Darbanan.
Treifa? You mean literally a treifa, like mortal wound?
Yeah.
Is it Daraisa?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What Tosos is suggesting is this. The egg is fundamentally separate from the mother. That's the way we view it. It is separate from the mother when it's inside. You're asking me, why is it then, as far as Nevela is concerned, it's going to be considered like part of the mother? And the answer is because Nevela is a Deoraisa. And therefore we take that more seriously and we're going to say we treat it as though it's part of the mother. As opposed to correct. And then you're going to ask me the question of we ask the question of, so why is the Beitzei Nevela off limits? Really, he's giving me then a separate answer. I'm looking at the way that I structured this in my notes. This is always the problem if I look at something and then days later give the shiur on it. But the way I viewed it in my notes, I viewed it as two separate questions. And now the way we're reading it as one fundamental question. But Tosfos presents it as two. In other words, I viewed this as two questions. Number one, why are the eggs of a nevela off limits, according to Beis Hillel? That was one question. And number two, once we're considering Beis Nevela part of it, why are the eggs from the shchuta considered separate, such that we're going to call them parav? So really two different questions. Starting off with egg of a nevela, why should it be usur according to Beis Hillel? And then within Beis Hillel, why is the beitza of a shchuta considered separate from it, considered to be separate? But the truth is, I see how you could end up reading them as one question. That's an interesting problem. Tosfos presents them as separate, and he gives separate answers. Tosfos presents them as separate. His first question that he presents is the question of Edyo says, Beis Hillel says, Aser, so then why is it Parav? And he gives an answer to that. And then he asks as a separate question, unless he's not viewing it as a separate question. Yeah, that's what you have to say.
The source, he's quoting Erevin.
So. No, his Erevin piece is a separate discussion. We didn't go into it because I wanted to deal with it separately. It's a separate point. The Erevin point.
But why would he interject that in between? If it's really the same kasha, why would he jump around and come back?
All right, so I'll show you the middle, and then you'll see why he does it the way he does. Go back to the kasha, at the end of the second wide line. He says, Vikasha, after he has established that the reason why the egg is not considered to be part of the mother when it comes to poultry and milk, is poultry and milk is a derabanan. Okay? So he says, Vikasha, this is difficult. The Gemara in Erevin is talking about an entirely different issue. It's talking about not giving a halachic ruling when there is a posek around who is supposed to get all the shilos. And the Gemara's example of even the simplest of questions is an egg in yogurt. Kuda Chababli is yogurt with crunchies. You remember, it shows up in the Gemara in a bunch of different places. Milk that has been allowed to go bad, and then they put chunks of bread in it. So the that's Kutach. So knowing that egg is mutter in Kutach, even that you shouldn't permit. That's what the Gemara in Erevin says. So Tosa says, I don't understand. So he says, Maika Mashmalan, what is that teaching us? Pshita. That's obvious. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara asks the regarding this, even an egg in a kutach, you shouldn't teach, right? And the Gemara says, well, that's obvious. So he says, Vahikav is samuch, Rabbi Yaakov da Asar. But he says, wait a minute, we are going to see, we haven't seen it yet. Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that the egg found inside the bird, the egg found inside the bird is usur with yogurt. That is not viewed as being parav. In which case, that's not an obvious thing that the egg is mutter with yogurt, because now you have someone telling me otherwise. V'yesh lomar, you could say, to kule alma modu, debates in gemuros mutaros la'ochlan bechalav. He says it could be that everybody agrees that if the egg is fully formed, you are allowed to eat it with milk. Even Rabbi Yaakov will agree with that. The time of the base, and in which case the egg is not part of the mother. The time of the base Hillel. Sorry?
There's no shell inside, though.
There is. No, the shell forms inside. The time of the base Hillel, it takes about 18 hours and the shell forms.
There's a little load on the side here. Boris Adam Oris.
Yeah, that's part of the discussion that you'll see regarding. It's a separate point. Jainam Uros means that it isn't connected with any vessels to the chicken anymore, to the mother. But the time of the Beis Hillel, the Asri Beis As Nevela, Hayinu Mishum De Gazrinan Atu Beis As Treifa. And Beis Hillel's reasoning for prohibiting the egg from the Nevela is not to say it's really part of the mother, but simply lest you eat from the Treifa. So you know what? I want to come back to this next time, because I think I need to present this more clearly. But I wonder if you shouldn't really read this Tosus as presenting two separate answers to one question. With the Beis HaBekutcha piece thrown in the middle to create some confusion. But his first answer, maybe the way to read this actually is, that his first answer is that it is considered to be part of the mother. It is considered to be a part of the mother, and that's why the egg of a nevela is a nevela. But meat and milk, poultry and milk, is a derabbanan, and the derabbanan didn't create that as part of their takana. When they said you can't have poultry and milk, they didn't include the egg of a nevela as part of this gezeira. That's his initial question, to which then he asks, well, then, wait a minute. If it's not considered a part of the mother as far as poultry and milk are concerned, then then how is it that Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that this is asur regarding Beis HaBekutcha? And our answer is going to be that everybody agrees that it is parav. Everybody agrees that it is parav. And his reasoning is that actually everybody agrees that it is separate from the mother, and that the only reason why you're not allowed to eat the egg of the nevela is because we make a gezera of lest you eat an egg of a treifa. So maybe that's really what Beis Hillel is doing. Maybe Beis Hillel is actually changing in this regard. In other words, his first view is that it is part of the mother, except when you're dealing with the derabanan. And his second answer is it's not part of the mother, right. And nevela is a special gezeira.
But why, if the egg is separate from the mother, is the egg of a treifa not permitted?
because it was completed.
Because it's a separate point. The reason why the egg of a trefa is prohibited is because it was formed by a trefa. It was actually, it was not that it was completed while it was a trefa, but it's like, so to speak, it has the energy of a trefa in it. The trefa, which was asur, was what created it. And something that comes from something that's asur is also asur. As opposed to the nevela, the egg of the nevela, which was formed by a live bird. It only became a nevela after that. So that's the difference.
How do you know what the... What causes the trefa? At what point?
Well, you can't get when milk, it gets there, you can't have milk from a trefa animal either, right?
No,
right.
If you know it's a trefa.
If you know
it's a trefa. The answer is when it got the wound. Whatever it was that made this bird... ill.
But so how do you necessarily know that happened?
I mean, right, so you have a chazaka. If you shecht this bird, or you don't shecht it, the bird just dies, and you find inside that it has this whatever it is phenomenon, so until you can count backwards and know, well, it couldn't have happened before, you know, it couldn't have happened then, until you can establish a moment, you have to assume trefa. That's a whole discussion in its own way.
Okay, so that's because we have to assume that.
Well,
because it is possible.
The true way to say
the true after the egg was developed.
Right. The true way to say it is the other way. Normally, birds have a chazaka that they are healthy. However, once a bird shows up with a trefa, that kills the chazaka that it is a healthy bird.
For some prolonged period.
For as far back as you cannot ascertain that it was fine.
What about an egg?
One second. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, but that's why we're ushering the egg, because otherwise...
I'll give you the example. Guy goes to mikveh. He walks into the mikveh. They have a little mark on the side that shows the water level, okay, and the line saying 40 saw. And he walks in, and he looks at the line, and he sees it's below the line. Normally, you go into the mikveh, and you can assume that it's 40 saw. But the moment you see that it's not 40 saw, you've ruined the chazaka. So that if you saw, when you were going into the mikveh, you saw someone coming out... You now have to warn him, you know, this mikvah actually may not have been 40 sa'ah. And then the question is, well, how far back do I have to assume this?
How much water did he schlep out when he came out of the mikvah?
That's part of the discussion.
That's right. Okay. Because maybe this one was perfect when he went in. He was the last guy to get it good.
Okay, but your analogy is somewhat weaker because we have a definitive moment, at least insofar as he looks, when he comes in, he sees with certainty that it's below the marker.
So, we know that it didn't happen at that moment. The water didn't just disappear.
No, I grant you that. But
it was vis-a-vis
him. Right, whatever he did before him was
right.
The issue.
Same thing.
That's the
and here, I have no idea when this happened. I open up the bird and I find that there are, fill in the blank for whatever the trefa wound is that you want to say. There's some kind of there's a nail jammed into one of its stomachs. I don't know when that happened. By the way, eggs, chickens only have one gizzard and whatever. It's not a cow. Yeah. You know what I mean, though.
It's not
rumored.
Yeah. So it's a chick born from a trefa bird. Is that trefa?
Yes.
Even though you don't know when it became trefa.
Correct.
How do we do that? Forgive me.
No, that's a problem.
That is.
Yeah.
What do we do? So you have a chicken, lays eggs, as many chickens as the mother chicken.
So
find out that it's no good when all the birds that came out of her are no good.
So that's the classic problem. And then the question is, can you rely on Rove and say, well, most of the chickens there were fine, and therefore we assume that it came from from one that was not. In other words, we don't isolate the birds such that you know which one this came from. Well, it's the same discussion as we have regarding the dairy farm.
We have to riot from a dairy farm. We rely on that.
Let's say it's one chicken. That chicken had 15 chickens. No, don't try to be funny. That chicken had 15 chickens. They're all sitting in your coop. And the mother or the grandmother bird dies.
Yeah,
no problem. They all came from her. All of them are trade?
Yes, that's been
on. So I'm not posking right now.
Oh, okay.
But you'd have a problem, yeah.
Don't have one cow on a dairy farm.
That's clear.
Just because it died doesn't mean
no. I mean, we're talking about what you investigated in something. But I want to. Yeah.
So going back to Tosis. So you want to start saying that first, it's the same, right?
It's part of the mother,
but because it's a Rabbanon, therefore it's mutter.
Well, the Rabbanon didn't
think of the And the second case of Yaakov is what?
And then the second, the problem that we have is that the Gemara's conclusion in Erevin seems to be that it's obvious that the egg is going to be mutter in the yogurt and the egg is not going to be part of the mother at all. And that he wants to say is that it really, it's that it isn't part of the mother at all. And that the fact that we consider it part of the mother as far as the Vela,
right,
is actually a gezeirah derabanan.
Right. And the third part in terms of a nevela is the trefa, right?
It's a gezeirah.
It's a gezeirah.
That's what I just said now. Something's not quite right here, and I had a tosfos and chulin that I had mixed into this, and the kovetz shiurim that I had mixed into this. I want to go back and get this straight.
The first answer Tosfos went with, and then got rid of it, and then he's going.
Yes.
So it's not like it's two answers. It's
right.
Only the last answer is the correct answer.
Right. Right, and there's actually going to be a third answer. So yeah, we have. I want to go back and read through this more carefully, because I'm not confident in it right now.
But they don't pasken like Beis Hillel, right? At the end of the day, they don't pasken like Beis Hillel in that Gemara in 80.
The Mishnah, yes, about the basis nevela.
Yeah.
Why
not?
Was that one of the
Pulis? Well, it's Homer Beis. Because he's Machmer, doesn't mean we don't pass.
Pulis of
Beis
Shammai over the thing, right?
No,
Beis Hillel is
the number.
Yes, the Kula of Beis Shammai and the Homer Beis.
Yeah, and Beis Hillel wins whether he's Machmer or Mekel.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll pick up with this, God willing, next week.